This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, well, this is an exciting day for me because I'm going to be talking to someone about my she's almost my favorite author, I think. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Sunday Taylor. She's not on yet, but she's supposed to be on, and I'm waiting for her. She's supposed to be calling. My goodness gracious. I have to talk about my favorite author, Charlotte Bronte. And so we'll wait for her. She's supposed to be on. Who knows? This is a pandemic. This is a pandemic-y time. Everybody is going bonkers, if you ask me. You know, the other day I got 11 books in just at my home. 11 books. 11. 11. And it was so funny. My mailman is like, okay. I used to have a wonderful mailman. He was a David Baldacci fan. As a matter of fact, he said he could have a PhD in David Baldacci because he not only read every book, but he also listened to every Audible book. And so it was really exciting to have him as my mailman because we could talk books. Yeah, I think he loved coming to the condo mostly because he could talk books. And he didn't mind carrying 7 books at a time. And he would bring them right to my apartment door because they don't fit in my box. And during this pandemic-y time, I instead of having a lot of books sent to the studio because I wasn't sure if I was coming in, so what I did is I just made sure that I had them sent to the house so that I didn't lose any. But oh boy, it was too much for my mailman. He's like, I think you have to get a business license or something. I can't carry all this mail. So things are coming back to the studio, and Big Ed here in the control room, he gets to have fun of getting all my books for me. And it is fun. I'm telling you, I am having so much fun. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you, I don't know where she is. I'm expecting Sunday Taylor. Don't you love that name? Sunday Taylor, to call anytime. But meanwhile, I wanted to say something. You know, I am the host of Joy on Paper. And the reason I am is because I love books. And so it is really, really exciting that when I get books, and I got a book, from National Geographic that just blows my mind away, and I'm going to be having the author on soon. But I want to tell everyone that I started a tradition a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, that Thanksgiving to me is National Geographic Day. It is the ideal time to give a gift of a Nat Geo book or to just buy one for yourself and have it on the coffee table. Because when people come over, and we hope that people will be able to come over this year, you have something for them to look at while you're busy in the kitchen and making all the arrangements. You know that your guests are happy because they are sitting there and they are engrossed in a National Geographic book. And of course, we don't know this year how many people can visit. I know my brother cannot come. My son cannot come. They all live up north and everything is such a mess. But I know that they will enjoy the Nat Geo books that I have sent them just for this time of the year, including the new National Geographic Almanac for 2021. And 2021 is going to be a better year. I am sure of it. It can't be worse, I hope. And so they have already the almanacs, and I'm sending them other books. Among my most favorite books are anything, absolutely anything from the Nat Geo Kids Collection. it's funny. I enjoy the Nat Geo Kids collection as much as anybody. And during this time when, actually the past few months, what I have done is I have put Nat Geo Kids right there, an icon on my computer, and I click on that in the morning. I just cannot click on the news. I haven't been able to do that for a couple of months now because it just brings you down. But the Nat Geo Kids page, the front page, is so cute, and it always has something, just some little something, a little story, some animal that you don't know about or you never even heard about, little jokes, little things. Just delightful. It just perks you up in the morning. I cannot recommend. You know, it's nice to have a poem a day, and I do a couple of different poem a days. But you need something cheerful in the mornings, and so Nat Geo Kids is really an ideal spot for all of you to just click on that and go there and smile for a few minutes before you start your day. And I do that now with my coffee. Now, I start, of course, my day is different from your days because I start early. I start 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm usually up by 4:30 and I'm starting to read at 5 because people have asked me, how do you read all these books? And I have been really blessed with this ability to wake up early. I think it comes from being a youper and having a grandfather who had a farm. And we woke up. You know, we woke up when the cows woke up, I guess. And we were up and at 'em, those of us who were inclined to do so. Because there's always people in the family. There are those ones who wake up early and those ones who don't wake up so easily. But I've always been the type to wake up early, and I am really bright and shiny in the morning, much more so than at night. And I'm so there I am. And I start my day, and I try to start it with a smile. And then, of course, I just start digging into the book pile because I'm getting... I used to have a table next to my favorite reading chair, and there it would be, and I would have 2 or 3, maybe 4 books that I was in the process of reading. I don't always read books quickly. If I'm really enjoying them, I actually read them much slower. But I would have these books, and there was a nice quantity. Now I have a pile of books. Well, I have 2 piles on the floor in front of me, and there are perhaps 20 books on each side. And the one side are the ones that I definitely am going to read because I've checked the first few pages, and I do that. Nowadays, of course, because I get so many books, I just have to do that. And I don't like to be too judgmental, though. So I have another side, on the other side of the chair, I have a pile of books that the first few pages didn't grab me. But I'm not a cruel-hearted person, and so I'm going to give them a chance. Now, it's funny. There are just authors whose first pages are so good that I get stuck, actually. I can't stop reading them. And that's always very difficult for me because when I, you know, I have things to do and places to go, and so... when I get one of these authors whose books, I can't stop turning the pages. That's a lot of fun. But I do judge a book not by its cover. I don't do that because it depends. You know, people who are self-published, who have indie published, often don't have great covers. I mean, that's just the way it goes. They haven't put in the expense. You know, you have to have when you're an indie author, you have to have a budget in order to run yourself as a business. And most self-published authors don't have that. They haven't set up a game plan. They don't have a business plan. and they don't have a budget for all of the little incidentals, like for example, an editor who can cost thousands of dollars, a proofreader, someone who will set up your book and format it, another $100 here, and then, of course, a book cover, $100 here, $200 there. It depends. You sort of get what you pay for. If you're going to pay good money, you know, somebody asked me how much is a great book cover. Well, it depends. I mean, I have seen a few wonderful book covers that cost $100. Generally speaking, it's a little bit more. I've seen $500 book covers that I didn't like. I mean, I really didn't like them. So it depends. And this is one of the things about a writer. You have to be so diverse if you are going to succeed. It is not a matter anymore that you can just say, okay, I am going to, you know, write my book and sit back and wait for the money to roll in. It doesn't happen that way. So the important thing is that you have to have all of these different talents and abilities. Well, I'm hoping that I'm talking like crazy. I'm getting really good at this. Poor Ed, when I first started, I would get all sort of flummoxed and crazy, and I think I used to look like I was going to faint or something when things happen, when calls dropped, when people didn't call in, or when I double booked. I've done that a few times. I've double booked, and then Ed's had to shuffle them around, and he does it so well. And now I'm not getting all crazy. If she doesn't call in, I can talk about Charlotte Bronte all day long. I mean, I could really do a 3-hour segment on Charlotte Bronte. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to interview her. Now, I know that is a little difficult because she has been gone for a long time, but I live in hope. And I hope that at some point, I'm going to create a very, very magical program in which Charlotte Bronte, I'm going to have maybe a little seance here, much like in Jane Eyre, and I'm going to have a seance, and I am going to call on Charlotte Bronte to join me here in the studio. And then we will have a lot to discuss because I tell you, it is so funny. Now that I'm older, it's interesting how I have changed. At one point, when I was young, my favorite author was Jane Austen. As I was so obsessed with Jane Austen, and I lived in northern Michigan, which is far away from England, as a youper, but I was obsessed with Jane Austen. And I worked all the years, really from the time I was 7 for my first paper route, I worked and worked and I saved. And at some point, I was around 11 years old, I said to myself, I'm moving to England and I'm going to live where Jane Austen lived. And so I was saving. I did so many things. I babysat. I cleaned houses. I worked. I became a candy striper at a local hospital. And it was lots of fun. And I worked from 3:30. School let out at 3:15. By 3:30, I was there. And I was working every school day until 9:30 at night. And I was always saving my money because I had a plan. It's always nice to have a plan in your life. Anyway, I wanted to move to England. So when I was 21 years old, I did move to England, and I bought a 400-year-old cottage not far from where Jane Austen was born. And my little village was called Sonning, and it's near Henley-on-Thames, and it's just a short drive over country roads to where Jane Austen was born and lived for many years. And so I spent so many days, actually days there, and roaming around that area. So I am looking back at it. I am glad that Charlotte Bronte was not my favorite author, because I would have been in such a mess if I would have moved to where Charlotte Bronte was born. This is not an area you want to live. for any length of time. It's wonderful to visit. And yes, there is purple heather, and it is absolutely beautiful. And it's, the countryside is wonderful. But Yorkshire is really, I think it was voted like the worst weather in Britain of like 50 years in a row or something like that. It rains a lot, and it's bitterly cold. I think at one point, I went up there many times, to see where Charlotte lived and where she roamed, and I was just enthralled with her writing. But I think at one point, I remember it was like, July. It was July, and I went up there, and they said, it was so nice. They were having great weather, and I sort of like, I'm wearing my winter coat, and they're, no, this is great weather, great weather. I said, no, I'm wearing a winter coat, but and of course you can't understand them either. I must say the Yorkshire accent is really difficult. It makes the one, 2 weeks ago I had Lee Child and Andrew Grant. Oh, I can't call him Andrew Grant anymore. I have to call him Andrew Child. It is really difficult for me. Lee Child and Andrew Child, who have just come out with the 25th book of Jack Reacher, they are from Birmingham, and they have what is called a Brummie accent. And it's a pleasant. I like it. I think it's a sort of folksy kind of accent. It doesn't bother me, of course, as they say, any northern, when you're in England, the people in Birmingham call London the Southerners, and they think they all talk very funny. But I love the Brummie accent. But oh, Yorkshire, you don't want to get lost in the countryside. It's almost worse than getting lost in the countryside in Scotland, because if you ask for directions, you have no idea what they are saying. Now, when I first went to England, all of the tourist areas were popular around where Charlotte Bronte was born. But nowadays, of course, they have everything organized, and they have signage, and they have all of that. In those days, it was still sort of rough. You had to find things a lot yourself. Nowadays, everything, they have signage. It's too much signage, I'm going to tell you right now. There's signs, go here, go there, all of these places that they want to lead you on the trail of where Charlotte walked and where her family, where her sisters and her brother. So it's overwhelming. As a matter of fact, when you try to take pictures of things, all you have are the signs, which is, I actually find a little bit annoying. I do remember one very cute sign, though, that I liked, and this is years ago, and it was just handwritten. And it was in Japanese. And you don't expect, when you are, driving around the British countryside and you're out there in Yorkshire in the middle of nowhere, absolutely nowhere, and you look up and there's a sign written in Japanese, and you say, what? And it, of course, was pointing the direction to Charlotte Bronte's birthplace. And that's because the Japanese love Charlotte Bronte. They have so many fan clubs for her there. They read her books, and they really, really love her work. And it's a very, very popular Japanese tourist destination in England. But it was very funny the first time I was there and I saw this sign in Japanese, and I had no idea. I don't know what has happened to this lady. Ed, do you have any idea? No, none of us do. And we don't have a call number because, sometimes when people are very, very important, they don't give me the call number because they don't want me to bother them. I tell everybody, give me a backup number, but they don't, and I don't know. So, Sunday Taylor is not going to be here. Too bad. And Ed, can you find the promo for Johnny Clark? We have a one you that one you did for Johnny Clark. I would love to play that if you can find that before we go to commercial. But Sunday Taylor will have to come back on another day, and she's written a book called Anglophile's Notebook. Little Anglophile? Well, she's an Anglophile, but she's not here to talk about Charlotte Bronte, so I had to talk about her. And in a few minutes, I'm going to go to a commercial. But before I do, I just want to remind everybody that you can go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com, and on the front page, at the very, very bottom, there's a form, and you can fill it in. You can ask me questions about authors. You can ask me, suggest authors that you want me to invite, and if I invite them and you want, you can join me on the program and talk to your favorite author right here on air. Or if you have a legal question, we have Bill Larson of Larson & Larson. He is my intellectual property lawyer and my patent lawyer. Did you know that I have 4 patents? Yes, I do. And I have a couple of them pending. And you never know, one of them might hit one day. But meanwhile, it's wonderful to have a great, great lawyer who really understands intellectual property. Because when I was young, I had no idea. And I hired a lawyer just out of law school, and he had no idea of intellectual property either, the poor kid. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He went through the ringer when he faced up with 4 of Hollywood's best intellectual property lawyers. Needless to say, we lost the case, which is why I am here on the west coast of Florida instead of the west coast of California. But I don't mind. I prefer it here. I love Florida. I love Clearwater. And I love being here in the studio. So it all worked out in the end. Although at the time, I did think of writing a book about how a client murders a young lawyer who is completely incompetent. But you never know. I don't know. I might have gotten stuck out there in California. And I'm much happier here where we are. We have, Florida. We just are so blessed. It is just so wonderful. So let's play. If you got, we're going to play Johnny Clark, because I love Johnny Clark's book. I love this promo that Ed did for him, because Ed just put really a real spin on this book, and it's really great. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to have some commercials. And then I have 2 people coming into the studio in a few minutes. I hope they turn up. I don't know. It's a pandemic-y kind of world. Okay, here we go with Johnny Clark.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8. It's 1946, and President Harry Truman has 2 goals in life: dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do, a little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all, even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You Hope, written by a true American hero. You'll love this book, now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0000. 0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I have two guests in the studio. This is exciting. Dan and Susan Huntington. Hi.
Hey, Patsy with a Z.
Okay, take off your mask. You will be okay. Ed sprayed this place like crazy. I don't think anything's... We're lucky we're alive. What do you know? Okay, and we're social distance, I think. Enough here. And everyone, I'm so happy to welcome you to Joy on Paper, and I have a few announcements to make. I just want to make two announcements. The months are going quickly, and it is November, and sometime in February, we are hoping, put on your earphones, you get ready for me, I'll be ready for you in a moment. I just want to announce that in February, I am going to be hosting a very special tea party. It's called Lady Emily's Hat and Tea Party, and it is for Tasha Alexander's main character in her wonderful series, Lady Emily Mystery Series. I'm holding this up to the camera because we are on YouTube. I don't know if people can see it. It's the first poster that we're going to have up, and we're going to be putting it around town, and people, if you start reading Emily, these wonderful Lady Emily mysteries, they are like a tour of Europe. You cannot go this year to Europe. I know that. But Lady Emily has gone to all the major cities in Europe, all of the cities that I have been to. And so we're going to have a very special tea party. Now, we had planned it originally for May, and then we thought we'd do it in October, and one thing after another. But I hope that you'll start reading Tasha Alexander's books and just travel Europe with her. And because at the tea party, one, there are going to be lots of prizes. A $25 gift card from Barnes & Noble, books, gifts from local merchants, and all sorts of wonderful things. And that's going to be in February, and we're waiting, for a confirmed date on that. And while I'm having that tea party, I'm also going to be celebrating a birthday for somebody who was born on Valentine's Day. And that is somebody very important in my life, and that is Jimmy Hoffa. Because he was born on Valentine's Day, and it is because of him that my name is Patsy with a Z, because whenever he saw me when I was a little baby and a toddler, and he would see me and he would start saying, he'd holler out, he'd say, two bits, four bits, six bits a dollar, if you don't give me a kiss, I'm gonna holler, or give me a hug. Sometimes kiss, sometimes a hug, but he would call that out. We would be in, my father would take me to union meetings, and of course, everybody there, all the guys were there, and there I was, a tiny little thing, usually sitting on my father's shoulders, and that's what Jimmy would call out, and I would go running up, right up to the stage where usually there were a few, like a little platform where he would be standing, and I'd go up there, and he would hug me, and usually he did. He gave me lots of half dollars or even silver dollars. And so that's how I got my name. And I want to celebrate this year his birthday, because He was a great guy. I'm telling you, I know everybody out there, you have ideas about him. But for the Teamsters, who, my father was a Teamster, and life was difficult for truck drivers before Jimmy Hoffa came along. And he was 18 years old when he started the union, 18. Not many 18-year-old kids are out there thinking of other people like he was, because he wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it for all the guys that he saw sitting around being taken advantage of. And in those days, truck drivers had to sit maybe for 14 hours just to get a job. And so he had many wonderful things about him, and I decided, what the heck, I liked him, he was good to me, and I'm going to celebrate his birthday too. So that's going to be somewhere around Valentine's Day. We're going to find a venue that's open where more than three people can join in, and I will let you know. Meanwhile, now I can turn to, is that door closed all the way? Push it a little. I think, yeah, it was a little bit open because I could hear Ed out there walking around. Okay, well, anyway, it is nice to welcome you, and it's been, this time has been, I think you sent me your book like months ago,
yes.
Many months, and you prompted me along the way, but things have been really hectic. And so let's just take some time now and tell us about this book, and it's called Inherited Destiny. I like that title, actually.
Well, first of all, let me thank you for are being here today. And also, we were here several months ago with our first book, The Cost of Living. We enjoyed it here.
Yeah.
You did a great job for us, and we thank you. We got some good reviews after leaving the show.
Well, it's a great book.
Yeah, thank you very much. Inherited Destiny is based on a true story. When I came out of college, I went to work. Back in those days, there were a lot of psychiatric hospitals, mental hospitals run by states. And I was assigned to a children's hospital for emotionally disturbed children. And I just took a liking to this one little kid who was sort of an outcast because he was born in a mental institution, product of a sexual assault. And so he was unadoptable because his mother was in a mental hospital and nobody knew who the father was. Everybody kind of assumed it was a patient. And so he inherited a horrible destiny. He was institutionalized for 24 years, and then good things started happening. And what happens is we all need a mentor. And when I saw this kid, I said, there's something about him. He's no different than anybody else. The only thing is people just aren't giving him a chance to draw him out. And we really became friends. And the hospital allowed me to take him home for Thanksgiving, take him out of the hospital on the 4th of July. He didn't know the difference between a hot fudge sundae and a banana split. I took him to a Dairy Queen, I think it was. And as time went by, he found himself. And I don't want to give the story away, but it's heartwarming.
It is. It is heartwarming.
It's a beautiful story. The thing is, it's based on a true story, but the sweet lady over here who doesn't say much, but without her, I could not have written this book. She spent her whole career flying around the country and the world. And you know, when you do that, you read a lot of books on airplanes and hotel rooms. So she read so many books. She would take a page I write and go over and just change a few words and make it flow beautifully. And so that's why I couldn't have done it without.
Well, Susan, tell us about what you did here.
For the book, the first book we had, when you interviewed us for that, basically my job was to do the reading and check it over, check the spelling errors, and that was my accomplishment for that book. But this second book, the story really touched me, and I got into it writing with Dan. I didn't want to do a second book because it's very time consuming, but we got into writing the book, and it just meant so much that it was based on a true story. And I began to feel the character of Jimmy. And after the book was finished and we were reading through it for a third time, Dan came into the room and I'm sitting at the computer and tears are rolling down my cheeks. And he said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, I just felt Jimmy's agony." And so then at that point, I knew that we would be able to relate to people, that it would be a book that they would enjoy because the emotion in the book is true.
Oh. She's being a little bit modest. She also came up with what I think was the number one best idea to expand the book into a real novel. Uh-huh. And it was an idea I would have never thought of. And she gave me that idea, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. It made the story come alive because you've added this depth to it.
Right.
Instead of just telling the right. story of what you did with Jimmy, to add this depth and this layer, and also to give a lot of opportunity to understand what things were like in those days with state institutions. And there were big state institutions, many of them so badly run that
Ronald Reagan canceled all those.
Yeah.
What used to be, which is really terrible, children would have their parents declared insane instead of just senile, and they just dump them in a mental institution. And it was just sad. Now today we have nice nursing homes and people, good care places to take care of these folks. So it's so much better today. But back then it was a horror story.
It really was. It really was. I come from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we had a state institution there that was very famous. And I remember as a child, occasionally somebody would say, you know, they were sent there, and it was horrific. And so today that we have all of these caseworkers, we have people who actually follow up and do really such wonderful work, and it's not easy, and a lot of people still fall through the cracks, and that's where we have people who are on the streets, unfortunately, but it certainly has changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, with this young man in the book, literally for a very short time, they kept moving him to a different facility, including a psychiatric hospital for the criminally insane. And Jimmy didn't have a criminal bone in his body. He was a sweet person. But then it changes.
Don't want to go into that this is a story that it will really touch your heart. If you read this story, you'll say, wow. First of all, it's very well written. I mean, Susan, you've pulled out all the stops because
thank you
really,
very much.
You really put it into, I mean, it's hard to believe this is the first novel you've written.
Yes.
I mean, that's something. Yeah. I mean, it is really amazing. And were you thrilled with your own power? I mean, did you like wake up and say, my goodness, I'm a novelist now?
That realization came to me, not for the first book, because Dan did all the writing in the first book, but in this book, that day when that emotion truly hit me and I was sitting there sobbing for Jimmy, I thought, oh, you know, people are just going to enjoy this book.
It's amazing when somebody starts crying over a book they helped write.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wanted to give you our website if you felt like.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. No, you we definitely tell us.
All lowercase letters, huntingtonnovels.com.
Okay.
Quite easy to remember, huntingtonnovels.com.
I like that plural there because that means there's more coming.
Yes.
Am I right? Am I right?
Yes.
This is what happens when you start seeing that joy on paper. You see your words, you know they're there, and you think, whoo, I've done it. You can't stop.
We're writing a book now, a compilation, and it's probably a year away. It'll be entitled, And Then God Showed Up. It'll be a compilation of miracles that'll blow your mind that really took place.
So. Well, isn't it fun? Isn't it fun when, well, first, like in your case where the character just takes over your mind, your life, your heart, and you just, it just flows. It flows. And that in itself is a miracle, isn't it?
I'm going to leave you some of the really, really nice reviews we got on Amazon. Every time we look at Amazon, we feel good about what people have written.
Yeah, I had looked. I looked earlier today. Sure. I don't know. Actually, I never, ever look at Amazon reviews of books until after I have read the book. I never, you know, I don't read even the blurbs. Like a book is coming out, I never read the blurb because I don't like to be told what it's going to be about. And I am finding really some of the best-selling authors, they really have to get their people in line because they give away the story in the blurb. And it drives me crazy. I don't want to know who did it before I even read the book, you know? And even like if there's going to be a murder, I don't want to know in the blurb that somebody's going to be murdered. I want it when I turn that page and I get to page 5 and there's no murder and page 6 there's no murder and I know there's going to be a murder, but I'm anticipating it. I want that fun. And so it's funny how I don't do that, but I did look once I have somebody booked. I looked at your reviews and they are all excellent, and it all falls along the same thing that it comes as such a really pleasant, you're in a subject that's really difficult. And thinking, just even to think about a child being put into that situation, being left with nobody, and having to just go through that kind of thing. And then, of course, your book is like, it's just an enlightening moment where things start to change, and it just makes it so great to read. And both of you, you've done a really remarkable job, and I think it will help people to think about the situation. Are we better now today? Yes, but could things be even better?
Yes, there's loads of room for improvement.
Yes.
You know, there's Susan and I are both very sensitive to children. I don't know, if I watch a commercial on TV with little children, I tear up sometimes. And we're retired and we're blessed. We don't need to write a book to survive. So we've decided that there's a place called St. Jude's Children's Hospital, which makes me cry.
Oh, I love.
And also the other one is Shriners. And most of the proceeds from our work is going to be donated because we're old. We don't need it.
both of those are so wonderful. And exactly, what you're doing is generous, and because you can't. It's heartbreaking to see these children suffer, and to know that whatever you can do to help them. And I had a young man on the other day, Davon Miller, and he has written some. His books are called Mr. Tickety Talk Clock, and he developed this series. He's now written a whole bunch of them and more coming. And these books are just wonderful and would make, if anyone wants to donate books to one of these organizations, you can order in bulk. You can order like 10 books and have them sent directly. You don't have to have them sent to yourself. You know, it's a lot of times you don't, particularly now, you can't go anywhere. Just order 10 books for one of these hospitals and have the book sent in, because it really, really is important that these children know that there are people out there who love them and care about them and want to help them.
Children are just, like I said, I come to tears when I read and hear about some of the the atrocities that are taking place out there with children. And we're going to do what we can do. We work also in our church. We work with helping to rescue trafficked children.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking. And it's called the Florida Dream Center, if you don't mind me throwing
a plug in. No, please. Absolutely. Because the more people hear about these opportunities, where they can help, because sometimes people say, well, I want to help, but I don't know where. And all they need is a little nudge saying, okay, do Shriners, do St. Jude's, do, and what is this organization?
The Florida Dream Center, it is run by Pastor Bill Lasasso from New Path Community Church. He started it, but now all other churches are coming in. And how many, Susan, did we rescue? 100, I guess.
Yes, we're working with the Sheriff's Department. And so when they save these children and women and young men from human trafficking, and recently they saved 22 just last week. Then they are brought to the Dream Center, and they help with their rehabilitation for them to change their lives and to be safe.
Wow.
We actually have a boutique where these people, they're like dressed in rags almost. The girls go in, and they can get makeup and clothing and
to be
whatever.
Able to.
And
so is this someplace people can donate clothes?
Yes.
And
yes. Just go online, the Florida Dream Center, and
check it out. This is wonderful.
Right.
I had not heard about it myself, and I will be happy to do a promo, and perhaps somebody involved and one of the leaders would.
Yes.
Who did you say is leading?
Pastor Bill Lasasso is the head of it.
The manager is Steve Cleveland.
Well,
and they're located in Lilman.
Okay.
Right.
Well, we'll do a little promo for them, and
proceeds from the book also, some of whatever we can afford, we're going to help that too.
Okay. So. Well, I think what you've done here with this book, and it's just wonderful. And again, the website, say it again so everybody.
HuntingtonNovels.com.
Huntington Novels, which means we're going to have more wonderful books from these two. So Dan and Susan, you have found something really great to do in your retirement years,
yes,
huh?
Yes, we have.
You're not just sitting there doing nothing.
No.
You're not.
No.
That's it. And that's so important. And I'm telling you, I had Eugenia Lovett West was my guest in February on her 97th birthday. And she wrote a book about cybercrime.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, now, my boys are, you know, knew everything there is to know about computers, all computer languages and all of this. So I was always around, you know, computer stuff. But here she is, 97 years old. She does research. And she's writing a book on cybercrime that is so filled with facts and interesting things that you. And she's 97. So you guys have a lot of years ahead of you. And I'm so happy that you were able to come in today. And everybody, this is an example. Here's an example of what you can do. If you set your mind to it, you can do it.
Yes.
You didn't know that you were going to be a novelist?
Nope.
Isn't it nice?
No way.
I wish everybody could see her on YouTube. She is smiling so big. She's a novelist. My goodness. David Baldacci, she's a novelist. She's a novelist.
We talk to so many people also that go, usually husbands and wives are like, you know, battering rams, but you two tend to feed off each other. We really are probably one of the few couples that can sit down and work together. And
well, maybe if more people would try it, if you have this mutual interest and this mutual passion for a subject like the two of you have, you both want to do something good for other people. You have generous natures and generous spirits, and you've found a way to work together, and that's the wonderful thing, isn't it? It is wonderful.
It's very rewarding.
How many years have you been married?
We've been married 31 years.
Whatever.
Oh, she remembers.
After
whatever. Whatever. She's been around here forever. She's been around, hanging around me forever. Whatever. I don't.
But after I retired from my real job of traveling the country in sales, I became an ordained pastor and was a chaplain in a jail. And there's a lot of stories in the jail
and
prisons.
We're going to look forward to your next book because it's going to be great. This is just wonderful. Everybody, now it is still the beginning of November, and you can still join in National Novel Writing Month. It's NaNoWriMo. All you have to do is check online, and it's not too late. A few days late, but you just work a little harder and catch up. And the goal is to write a 50,000-word novel in a month. And the reason for it is to just get that discipline of sitting down every day and writing. Because an author has to be disciplined. Hmm. If you don't write, nobody's going to do it for you, right?
That's correct.
And you found that...
We were sitting at that computer every day, morning to night.
That's it. And having fun.
And I don't type. She does. I have a dragon, so I talk to it, and it types, and she fixes it.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and the book is wonderful, and I hope that everyone will get it. It's called Inherited Destiny, and it's available, of course, I'm sure, Barnes & Noble, but also Amazon. And are you planning to have an Audible version done of it?
I never thought of that. I think it's kind of expensive.
It isn't. You can do it through Amazon. You can do it finding somebody who will, a narrator who will share the cost with you, and it's possible. It's possible.
We'll have to look into this.
Book would be very good.
For people, on audio.
Yeah. And it's not that expensive.
You can actually go straight there
to Audible and find out. And they have people who want to jump in, and especially when they have a good book. A book that can really move them and give them... Because a lot of starting off narrators need to work with somebody so they have the experience. So you can sometimes get really great deals. So check it out. Because of all the books, I read a lot of books. I think this one would really be a great Audible book.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion. Okay. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, it's been really a joy to have you here in the studio with me. And I don't know what happened to my first guest. She was supposed to be on the phone today from New York City. But who knows what's happening in New York City? Maybe you can't move anymore. You can't go anywhere. Maybe they close the studio. Maybe they close the whole state down. We don't know what's happening, right? We don't know what's happening to anybody anywhere anymore. And particularly because in New York, the studio in New York City is in a building. I was in the building. It's a tall building. And it's like the studio is like on the 53rd floor or something like that. And nobody wants to go in an elevator in New York City. So who knows? Anyway... Everybody, just remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an Audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't unless you start writing. And boy, oh boy, Dan and Susan Huntington, they started writing, and they couldn't stop, and they're not going to stop. They'll be writing for years and years to come. So thank you both for being here in the studio. And everybody say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. He's saluting me, and I'm saluting him because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general. Oh, I would have loved it. And I love uniforms. I would have been so, it would have been so much fun. And I like to order people around too. So, yeah, what the heck. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And chill out, calm down, read a book, or start NaNoWriMo, and write your own book. Bye-bye now.